Going Linux, episode 458, listener feedback.
No viruses, no fuss, just simple and clean. Going Linux, it's the ultimate dream. Forget the crashes and the constant lag with open source. You're never gonna sad. Going Linux.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, you can email us at goinglinux@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, listener feedback.
Hello, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. Weather report, it's hot and sun's out, so other than that, nothing's changed.
Yeah, you're getting some really nasty weather.
Yeah, it's not really nasty, it's just really, really bright.
Oh, okay. Don't wear your sunscreen and glasses, yeah.
And a big floppy head if you got one.
Yeah, it's not too hot here. It's getting hot, you know, middle of the day, but not like it does there in New Mexico. It's California hot.
You just have to stay hydrated, drink plenty of water.
Yep.
But enough of weather and all that stuff. I want to talk about SoundCloud, Larry.
Okay, let's talk about SoundCloud. What's going on with SoundCloud?
So, I like video game music. I like soundtracks, and I was looking for one, and SoundCloud seemed to have majority of what I was looking for, and I had created an account a while back, so I went ahead and logged in and found what I was looking for. But then I didn't they also, and I did not know this, I must be slow, but they actually have a streaming service too, but they have a lot of independent artists along with the major artists, and almost every game soundtrack that I'm looking for, because I like listening to them. Yes, I'm weird. So, you can listen for free, but I don't think you can download. I know there's certain things that you can listen to a lot of independent stuff, but some of the stuff you have to have a subscription, which is, like 10 bucks plus tax. Mm-hmm. And the same price as what you'd pay for iTunes. Everything iTunes has, this one has, you know, Spotify, this. I haven't found anything SoundCloud doesn't have, and it has higher, you can download it at a higher bit rate. So I've been using SoundCloud. It's my new streaming service because I listen to music nonstop. But the recommendation algorithm that they're using is spot on.
Oh, good.
Spotify's pretty good. SoundCloud's better. Apple iTunes, because I have an iPhone, of course. Apple iTunes is absolutely garbage. It just comes up with some of the weirdest stuff. So, anyway, that being said, if you're looking for somebody, especially for independents, artists, and I found some good artists I had never heard before, because I'm kind of an eclectic kind of listener, but I mainly look for the game soundtracks because, you know, they actually add so much to the gaming aspect. Yeah, if you're looking for a good streaming service, I'd recommend they have a free trial. You can give them a try, but we're not being sponsored by SoundCloud. I just found that it worked really well, and I think they have, I know their service works well through the browser. I haven't looked to see if they have one for Linux, but I usually play through the browser, so, or on my phone. So that being said, I updated Manjaro. I've been doing some testing, and they had released a new Manjaro, and I decided I wanted to go with the KDE version just to see, and I have fallen in love with the new KDE version. So this one is actually, I think it's 24. I put 23, but it's actually Manjo 24, and they named it Wednesday, which I thought was kind of cute. I'm having a good time with it. It seemed to it's using the latest kernel. It's using the 6.9.1 kernel. And it's and I've noticed that my game support on Steam has gotten much, much better. And I haven't installed the Proton GE from Glorious Eggroll yet. But, yeah, so far I've been able to run almost every game. I had one little problem with a game, but I think it was just because I had just updated it, so sometimes it gets a little wonky. Other than that, I've been playing AAA games, older games, newer games, and usually with spectacular results with just the standard Proton.
That's fantastic. That's good. Yeah.
Now, yeah. I didn't put this in the show notes. I now use a blood sugar thing called Dexcom. It monitors my blood sugar.
Okay, I've heard of that. Yep.
Okay. Monitors my blood sugars when I'm sleeping. It monitors it, et cetera, and will set and send an alert. But it also keeps this log. So far, I've been really liking it, except for one thing, Larry. I can't find a way to export the log data into my computer. I think it's all proprietary. I looked in their app. There's no way to export the data. I want to put it into a spreadsheet so I can print it out or send it to my doctor before my next appointment, because they like to see how you're running for make adjustments to the insulin and stuff like that. But if anybody knows a way that it will work on Linux or has a Dexcom and has found a way to export it, or maybe I'm just missing the setting, I would really appreciate it, because I am not installing Windows or anything else. If it can't get on Linux, then I'm not going to get it. But there's gotta be a way to export this data.
Yeah, you would think so. And I don't know if I just went to the Dexcom site.
Uh-huh.
And in their getting started section, it talks about exporting raw data to a CSV file, which then you can put into LibreOffice Calc. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, but when I look for it, see, I'm using the Dexcom app for my iPhone, but I've looked, and unless I don't see where I can export it, I've looked and looked. My sensor can send information to different cell phones, people to keep an eye on me in case something goes low, but I can't find how to export this stuff, and maybe it's somewhere in one of these menus.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have one. So let's see if our listener base, I'm sure somebody out there uses Dexcom.
Yeah, I've looked, and like I said, I've went and saw that, but it's like, I don't see it. But if it can be exported as a CSV file, then I'm golden.
Yeah, it's just getting to there. I took a look at the explanation, under the read more, and it doesn't really tell you how to do it. It says yes, you can, but
so I'm just in case anybody wants, it's the Dexcom 7 I'm using. I'm sorry for monopolizing this, but I've been trying to figure out how to get this thing, to get the data out of this app or whatever, and it's not working. Help.
Yeah, let's see if our listeners have a solution for you.
Yeah, any help would be great. All right.
There you go. Okay, shall we get started with our voicemail at first?
I think we should get started with our voicemail. Sorry, I thought about that as we were talking. I was like, man, I wonder if any of our listeners use Dexcom or knew how to export this data, because, yeah, it's a pain.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Well, if you do have something for Bill, bill@goinglinux.com.
Yes, and I will definitely give you credit on the on our next listener feedback. I guarantee you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Thanks. All right. Well, let's get started with our first voicemail. Sean sent it in as an OGG file recording by email, and this will take a little while. If you've listened to Sean's other audio submissions, you know what I'm talking about before we even get started. So here we go.
Greetings, Bill and Larry. That's right. Bill gets top billing again. But don't get an ego, Bill. Or should I say, aloha from Utah, Larry and Bill. This is your number one pedantic minion, with yet more audio feedback. Well, hey, at least if it's recorded as audio, then that will save you from having to read it out loud. So, what have I got for you this time? Well, first of all, my Going Linux friends, can I call you guys friends? Well, I guess we're more like friendly acquaintances. Anyways, Bill, thank you for the recommendation for Blanket for Linux. This blanket program, right, that's meant to make background noise, a really nice audio program. I'm glad you recommended Blanket. I had to re-listen to the episode, though, because you guys only said the name once, and I'm like, wait, what was that? So I'm looking forward to downloading and installing that for my desktop Linux installs. That being said, I have a recommendation for you guys. A few recommendations, actually. First, an audio one. That is, did you know that SOX, which bills itself as the Swiss Army knife for audio management, or creation, or editing, or actually I just think it's the Swiss Army knife for audio, generally speaking. Well, they have a feature which not only lets, I mean, there's so many things this can do. It can convert from one audio format to another. It can record audio. It can generate audio. It can change frequency, and it can change amplitude. It can change, like, the bit rate and the samplings, and there's a lot of things it can do. That is why it has such a big manual as a man page or an info page. Info, by the way, for those that don't know, is a command line command, much like man, where if you type man sox, which is spelled S-O-X, or info sox, I-N-F-O space S-O-X, you can get the manual for this program. And man, is there a lot of information. It's probably why people created front ends for sox, so you don't have to learn all of the arguments to pass to the command. Anyway, I digress. The program sox can also be used to generate background noise so that you can listen to either automatically generated background noise, so it's dynamically creating it as you listen to it, which can be either white noise, if you want to include all of the audible hearing range of humans, or you can make light red colored noise, if you will, which is only the vocal range of humans, or Brownian noise, or perhaps you could have red and orange and yellow noise, or if you don't want just a range, you could have violet and red and green all as one waveform, which can either be dynamically generated by SOX, or you can save it as an OGG Vorbis or other audio format, so you can just have it saved as a recorded static file for playback with any audio player. SOX is a very convenient program, and so I actually wrote a bash script for having background noise so that I can concentrate and to drown out the noisy environment that I live in. There's a lot of cats and dogs and birds and people that live here, not to mention all the street noise from all the traffic driving by. So having something like Blanket or SOX outputting background sounds can be quite useful. What about the rest of my recommendations? Well, there's three programs which some of my fellow minions, as well as listeners and hosts, might or might not have heard of before, and yet they're so useful it's worth hearing about either way. The first is wget, which is a nice program for getting things from the web. Although wget, W-G-E-T, supports far more than just the hypertext transfer protocol. It supports HTTP, HTTPS, FTP. I think it might even support Gopher and other protocols. Anyway, more or less, if it's at the internet, wget should be able to talk to it and download files. Plus, it has a really great feature where you can tell it, don't clobber anything. If it partially downloads something and then we get interrupted, just save something as a new file and add like .1, .2, .3 for additional attempts. Or you can say, no, please be intelligent and resume the file where things discontinued if the server will allow for us to request the file from a different place than the beginning point of the file. And it has lots of other cool features too, and is one of my favorite programs. Just simply type wget, and then type or copy and paste or middle click, if you select the text first, to a terminal window like xterm, and press enter, and there you go. That's right, it's just wget, whatever the file is, press the enter key, and now you're downloading whatever it was. Another one that's even more popular, although in my opinion not as user-friendly, is curl, which is used to collect URLs. The program name is spelt C-U-R-L, and this is also very useful for downloading files. Lots of programmers like that. I personally prefer wget, although there are times when you might prefer curl, or you might be using a program that depends upon curl. So both are really good to have, and they don't take a lot of space. Finally, a program that is not for downloading files, and yet is for managing files, is Midnight Commander. Now, Midnight Commander was inspired by the old yet very useful file manager called Norton Commander. Unlike that commercial proprietary closed-source old software, though, Midnight Commander is free Libre open source software for Linux computers, whether they're desktops, laptop computers, netbooks, notebooks, and naturally being open source, it's been ported to lots of different OSs, including something I've heard of before. I think it's called Windows from some sort of corporation called Microcomputer Software or Microsoft, something like that. But it's also for things like the BSD OSs. And so this program, Midnight Commander, oh man, people often talk about the, you know, terminal or command line programs not being user-friendly. Well, this one, you don't have to remember arguments to type in a command. Just type MC for Midnight Commander. And now you can have a nice ncurses-based graphical user interface at the terminal. It lists like F1, F2, F3 to show you what they do. F10 is to quit the program. You can actually type terminal commands while in Midnight Commander, so you don't even have to quit back to the command line if you want to type in something that way. You can press tab to go between the left file pane and the right file pane. It uses the F or function keys for move operations, copy operations, rename operations, something like alt space or something like that will bring up the menus at the top of the screen. I believe it even has mouse support, so if you're not at like a pseudo terminal, you know, like pressing alt F1, alt F2, alt F3, etc., will give you terminal windows outside of X Windows, the graphical user environment, or Wayland or whatever you're using. Well, if you just open, you know, X-Terminal or UX-Term, RV-Term, whichever you're using, within the user environment, the GUI, if you're in that environment, you can actually use the mouse to just click on the menus in Midnight Commander, like a regular program made using KDE or Qt or GTK or GNOME or whatever. So it might look different, it might look like it's just terminal-based, but no, it's colorful, it has lots of imagery, and you can click and see and interact with the mouse if that's how you prefer things. It's got useful facilities for batch renaming and other operations. Honestly, Midnight Commander is awesome. There's plenty of web pages describing how to use it and YouTube videos too if you want to get the most out of it or find an introduction. And so, yes, Midnight Commander, excellent software. So good, in fact, it inspired other software like the free Libre open source Ghost Commander, which is a file manager for Android and one of my favorite projects. Anyway, last of all, I would like to ask for everyone's recommendations, whether you're a host or a listener or minion or gremlin or goblin, for weather widgets and weather applets. I don't care if they're for the terminal, the command line, or a GUI environment like LXDE or IceWM or one of those other ones that's more popular or, you know, user-friendly like Mate. What are your favorite weather widgets? I know widgets used to be really popular about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, like when Opera web browser included widgets or Microsoft Windows included widgets. But they seem to have fallen by the wayside, or they're no longer the popular new trend. So I'd like some recommendations for weather widgets. Personally, I found some cool ones for the terminal. I can't remember the name of this program, and admittedly I'm having trouble with my desktop computer's hardware. I think my NVIDIA 950 might have some sort of problem where it works okay if I'm at like an actual terminal environment, or like I'm at a MS-DOS, for example, or the open source FreeDOS. If I'm in that sort of like low-level, low-resolution, text-only environment, it works okay. But if I'm in a graphical environment, whether Microsoft Windows or some sort of Linux GUI environment, it'll just randomly freeze. The computer will just totally stall out, and I'll have to power it down manually. I'm not sure why. However, I suspect that it is the graphics card and not another part of the computer. To be determined, though. The point is, I can't really get to my bash script that I created with this really good weather applet. However, you can access it from the terminal. Can't remember what it's called, but I believe it's hosted at GitHub, although it might be at the honestly superior GitLab, although anything not owned by Microsoft is superior in my opinion, you know, generally speaking. But GitLab has a lot of cool features, and it's simpler to import and export your project so you're not locked into a certain environment, or you miss or lose things if you try to export or leave from, you know, a place like GitHub. Anyway, this software is very good and has support for color at the terminal too. So you can, you know, say, what's the weather for Garden Grove, California? Or what's the weather for Denver, Colorado? Or whatever destination you might like. And it will give you that information either, you know, with gray foreground text and black background, or you can have it be colorized and it's yellow and blue. And it's very nice. So I wrote a script just to list my favorite cities and the cities and towns where I have family or friends living. It's a really nice program. Sorry, I can't remember the name right now. Oh, by the way, the reason I'm running an NVIDIA 950 and not something newer is because 950 is the last GPU for which NVIDIA still provides official drivers for Windows XP. Old OS, I know. However, there's a lot of software I have that runs best with Windows XP or won't run with Wine or won't run with Windows 7 or newer, and so I kept the 950 around. I guess I'll have to see, though, what will be the future of that computer. Fingers crossed that all goes well, am I right? Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed those recommendations of Midnight Commander and Wgit and Curl and Socks. And I look forward to hearing other people's weather widget and applet recommendations. So, from Sean NZ17 Robinson, pedantic and apparently rambling minion, from Utah, aloha!
Okay, thanks, Sean. And this is actually a two-part email. He's got a PS audio recording, so we'll play that in a minute. But Yeah, a lot, he's covered a lot in here. So
he
mentioned he appreciates Blanket and has a number of suggestions for us. And socks, I think I had heard about that. What he describes as a Swiss Army knife for audio. Have you had any experience with that?
No, but I'm going to start playing with it. I started looking at the man file, and he's not joking. This thing has so much stuff that you can do with it. So, yes, I've just started reading through the man pages. It's like, hey, Sean, you didn't tell me this thing was a novel.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, that was great.
I think he kind of did, but anyway. Yeah. Anyhow, Wget and Curl, I'm familiar with those.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've used Wget more than Curl, but yeah, if you want to know about those have man pages as well. Let's see here. Midnight Commander, we've talked about that in the show.
Golly, it's been a while since I've used Midnight Commander. It was a cool... That was the one that had the blue background and the yellow text, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, there was a lot of that color combination back in the day. Weather widgets. He was asking for recommendations on weather widgets. The only weather widget I've used is the one, the GNOME weather widget that was available, I think, as an add-on in Ubuntu Mate. I know there's another weather widget that is available on, or maybe it's the same one that's available on Ubuntu Cinnamon. But I don't really have any recommendations there. And how about you? Are you a weather nerd?
My phone has weather widgets. but I usually have one on my desktop, but I don't have one right now. And I'm slacking, apparently. Since I'm running KDE, I know Plasma has a couple different ones. So you would just go into, if you're running KDE, you would, or like Kubuntu or one of those, you go into Discovery, and then you'll type Plasma, and it'll list all the different widgets and tell you what to do. Just, I think if you do Plasma and then Weather, let me look real quick, Plasma and then Weather. Let's see. Oh yeah, there's all kinds of apps for that. So one's just called K-Weather. Imagine that, Larry.
Yeah, on KDE, who knew? Yeah.
Yeah, but there's it comes up. So if you're looking for a good weather app, just type Plasma and then Weather, and you'll bring up several different types. Okay.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you get three weather apps, and you get three different different versions of what the weather's going to be for forecasts. So you don't like the weather forecast on one, pick another one.
Just look at the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Man. So he also mentioned graphic card problems. So I know you and I talked ahead of time. You had something to say on that NVIDIA 950 that he's using?
Okay, so I don't know why he's using the NVIDIA 950. It might be for a specific operating system or a program that requires it. But a 950 is 7 years old. It's still supported with the legacy drivers. But I think try and install the latest and greatest drivers, you might have some issues. So you want to see if that graphics card is still supported with the proprietary legacy. If not, your best bet would be to use the open source NVIDIA drivers. It could be just the drivers just old, and it's just not as, you might have a problem with it, so reinstall it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he's running a 950 unless it's just a spare card he has running around, which, hey, it's good for some light gaming and work. I mean, it works just fine. You can watch, it can support, 4K video and stuff, or I think of 4K video. But, I mean, it's not it's old, but it's still a good card, but you're not going to get super duper 200, you know, frames per second out of it. But I don't know.
Yeah. And since he's having problems with the, you know, the text-based stuff works just fine, but the graphics, he can't.
Sounds like a driver problem.
On his screen. It does sound either like a driver problem or maybe that hardware, you know, hardware, although it's tough, is not infallible. Maybe it's just giving up the ghost.
Here's a question, and I don't remember hearing, maybe you did, I don't remember hearing it. Is it a hybrid system? Does it use an Intel integrated, or is it the NVIDIA 950?
I don't think he said. Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's if it is a hybrid system with a discrete graphics card and an integrated graphics card, the text is usually, you know, like for instance, mine will switch between what I'm using. If I'm using just text, it'll switch to Intel because it's more power efficient. But if I want to play a game, it's going to automatically switch to the NVIDIA card. Just because
it's got more performance.
More performance. So I'm wondering if he has a hybrid system, and the card might be going bad. The card could, but the card could also just have bad driver. And just another, throwing it out there because I've had issues before with this. How old is your? Have you updated your system firmware? That could be, you know, a problem too.
Some incompatibility issues going on there.
That has, you know, the driver's been updated, but the firmware hasn't. So sometimes that will kind of cause a problem. I mean, there are hopefully some of those ideas will help.
Yeah, exactly. And system firmware, also known as BIOS software. Or if it's a newer computer, which this doesn't sound like it is, but it could be UEFI software.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and if you're using a relatively new Linux software distribution, then you might have the firmware updater that you can use right from there. But if you're using dual boot, I didn't realize this, but I heard this recently, that you probably want to use the Windows firmware updater or BIOS updater because on newer versions of Windows like 10 or 11, it goes crazy if you're trying to update the firmware using something other than Windows. It seems to think that you've got some rogue application updating your firmware on your computer without, you know, running it through Windows first. So, you know how Microsoft is about these things.
Yeah, it's called Windows.
It's called Windows. Yeah, it's a security feature, right?
Yeah, it's security. It's a security feature. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. Okay, so now we're rambling. I know Sean called himself the rambling minion, but we're rambling a bit. Shall we go on to the next file that he sent to us? The next
Sure.
audio file? Okay, here we go. It's about one topic, and it's much shorter. Here we go.
Postscript. I have a recommendation for a website to help Linux users just get things done. Well, okay, it's a website. It probably doesn't care what OS you're using, but hey, it'll help Linux users to get things done. Now, as some of you might remember, way back in the day, there was a web browser called Netscape Navigator. And eventually, Microsoft put that corporation out of business, and so they open-sourced their OS. And this turned into the web browser known as Mozilla. And then eventually that got turned into various things like Thunderbird and Firefox and Songbird and Sunbird and lots of other open source projects for, well, web and email and integrating all that, or calendar, or in the case of Songbird, that was a media manager. Anyway, Mozilla had other projects too, including DMOZ, which was the Mozilla directory of web pages. And unlike, say, Google or DuckDuckGo or other web search engines out there like Yandex or I heard of this thing called Bing, but, you know, I don't recommend it. There were human-edited web directories. Sort of think like the yellow pages or white pages of a phone book, you know, phone directories, if I'm not the only one that remembers those. Anyway, those were really good and really useful. And DMOS was the most popular of the web directories. Well, this human-edited directory was meant for people to be able to find web pages while avoiding all of the spammy pages and those that are just, you know, cluttering up search results from automated means, like your typical web search engine. So, eventually, though, the corporate owners who bought the Netscape assets, AOL, Time Warner, I believe, decided that, no, was it Yahoo? Might have been Yahoo. Well, they decided that they just didn't want to go and keep this DMOS project around, and so they decided to kill it. However, before it got killed, lots of people made backups of the data. Yet the editors, who freely contributed their time editing and reading through submissions to the directory, decided that they were going to go and make their own free of their corporate overlords. And they called this web directory Curlie, C-U-R-L-I-E, who is a great big red squirrel, and he is the collector of URLs. Well, Curlie is an excellent website, one I recommend all of us Linux users bookmark, because you can submit your own recommendations, you know, in an open source fashion to this web directory for inclusion. And it's not like they're going to be like, oh, this website has 250 web pages, we'll include each one. No, it's more like submit the homepage for this website, or if the site's broken into, you know, radically different subsites, well, then you could submit each one of those. And so they're categorized, so starting at the top, you know, you've got arts, and you've got science, you've got news, you know, you've got games, and from there it breaks it down, like we'll just use games as an example. You've got board games, card games, dice games, tile games, computer games, video games, and so on and so forth. For each of those, they just keep branching into more subdirectories, listing different series by name, or, you know, eventually you'll just be like, oh, look at all of these different Japanimation or Japanese animated series, you know, and this is a good website for that. Oh, this is a good webpage. Oh, here's this good shrine or whatever they might call it. And so Curlie is a very good website, very good useful resource. I recommend everybody check it out. And instead of just getting, you know, the top three results from Google or whatever, you can actually find web pages that are GASP, less unpopular, and GASP still have fun or useful information, which GASP might have just been hosted at some university server and have GASP, no advertisements. Yeah, Curlie is really good for discovering websites and web pages you might otherwise miss. So everyone, try out the web directory Curlie. I recommend it. Aloha from Utah, from Sean NZ17 Robinson, number one pedantic minion.
Okay, Curlie. I don't know what happened to Larry and Moe. And for those of you who are younger in the audience, go look up Curlie, Larry and Moe. You'll figure it out. Strives to be the largest human-edited directory of the web, according to their website. Never tried it. Looks interesting.
I did.
Yes.
I okay. Like it.
And?
It's good. It's actually really good. I looked up Ego I thought I was looking for going links just to see what it would find, and it showed our, gave us a little blah blurb about our podcast and the link, and then I looked at some others. You know, you can do a subject. I actually give you an example. I type shirt, And what was really cool is it brought up shirt, and then say shirt clothing, and then where you want it. You got UK, Germany, United States. So I said, oh, let me try UK. So I hit UK, and it brought up all those. And then I was able to pick a store, and sure enough, there were the shirts.
Hmm.
So okay. You can search for a category. You can look for a computer. We'll have software, hardware, operating system. I mean, just all these different subcategories, and they'll have other subcategories. So you can really dig down and find exactly what you need. No AI information there. It's all human, and it's all volunteer. It's free to use. If you want to help them, there's a way you can become an editor, but you have to apply, et cetera, et cetera. If you, you were writing one about Linux Mint and you wanted to be the editor to keep that up, you could. Or the Ubuntu Mate or whatever. So if you happen to be, have some own links, but also a way you can have your own collection. I ain't got into that part. I was just too busy. It's Curly is like go down the rabbit hole. It's like, oh, I didn't know I could do this. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. And it's like, oh, there's games in a section. Yes, I went to the games. Of course I did. But then it breaks down the different games. So massive multiplayer, et cetera, et cetera. So it was all really, really good. I was very impressed with it.
Yeah, it's all human curated. So
yes, it is. It's wonderful.
It's good. That's good. Yeah, I just searched for two words in there, Going Linux. And our podcast is right at the top of the listings. And then it goes to the Canberra Linux Users Group and some other things about Linux. And then it goes to something called Going Bananas.
okay, that's us.
See how it's working. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Going Bananas is a Florida-based nursery offering edible and ornamental species and cultivars of bananas and plantains. And if you're interested, they take mail order. So, okay. I see what you mean by going down the rabbit hole.
How did bananas get in there?
Well, I think it keyed off the word going. And it
yes, that's true.
Thing. That's yeah, true. There we go. All that's right. Awesome. Well, let's get into our email, shall we?
Sure.
All right. So Reed sent us an email entitled New and Light is Good, HP and System 76. Dear Bill and Larry, glad you got the new ultralight HP. It sounds great. Your news piqued my interest because it sounds a lot like the machine I just purchased, my first new laptop since 2010. In the intervening years, I have had several used ThinkPads with Ubuntu Mate and other Linuxes installed, and they've all been good. But I finally got the hunger for some new tech, and I am very happy. I've had it for less than 2 weeks, and have yet to come down from Cloud 9 or whatever cloud I'm on. I have been too pleased with the new machine to really take in my surroundings. My new machine is System 76's latest Lemur Pro with the new Ultra Intel processor, 40 gigabytes of RAM, and of course, it runs Pop OS. It weighs 2.2 pounds like yours and advertises 14 hours of battery life. Some comments. The chassis is built of black magnesium with no embellishment except for System 76 on the lid. Very light, strong, and solid. A nice backlit keyboard, excellent trackpad, and it has a wonderful screen that seems to be a muted matte finish. Exceptional brightness and colors and no reflections. You can use it outdoors without a problem. Speed. Wow, this Lemur does everything instantly and has spoiled me for other machines. It even starts up faster than anything I've ever had. Uses custom open source firmware written by System 76 instead of the usual manufacturer's blob. That's really nice. Battery life. One thing the Lemur does not do fast is run down. I've quickly gotten used to charging it and then it going for days without even checking how much battery life is left. It took me 2 days to run it down to 12%, and then it said it had another hour and 46 minutes runtime remaining. I didn't time it, but that was after about 10 hours of use, mostly web surfing, email, and some videos. I will try to quantify it more specifically soon. I don't know how they got this much battery life in a 2.2-pound machine. Software. The OS is Pop, of course. I've tried it before, but had migrated away to Ubuntu Mate, Zorin, MX on a Pi, Manjaro, and some others. Aren't we blessed with choices, Bill? Since this came with Pop and the machine was using the latest processor, etc., I stuck with it. Everything runs absolutely great, and System 76 has provided very fine-grained adjustability and customization for every component. As well they might, I guess, as it's their own machine. But Larry, I wonder whether, since Pop runs well on this new hardware, it may be it incorporates some drivers and so on for your hardware too. Would it be worth a try? Anyway, Pop has been refined since I used it last, and I like it so much I don't think I'll be changing it. Sorry, Bill. That's all for now. Thank you for your great show. I never miss it, and listen to some of them several times. Praying for a nice summer for both of you. Reed. And just a note from me, I got interested in the battery life a little bit more because I kind of quoted some specs off the top of my head. And I think the HP that I have, although it's not the same hardware, I checked. You know, some of these are copies of one another. And I think they advertise 14 hours like yours from System 76. But I took a little bit of interest in trying to narrow down, be a little bit more accurate on how it actually performs. So I looked at the Power Statistics app on Ubuntu Cinnamon over a two-hour period, and that app is available on just about any Ubuntu derivative that I have tried, and I'm sure other distributions as well. And I run with the brightness at 20%, believe it or not. This HP has an extremely bright screen, not the matte finish. It does have a glossy finish, and it does affect when you take it outdoors, which I don't a lot, but hey, it's turn up the brightness to 100% and you've got something that can overpower even the sun on the brightest days. So I run it at about 20% and using it just basically for web browsing. I think I said on the last podcast, I think I said 10 hours. So I didn't actually run it to the end, but doing some calculations over that two-hour period and extrapolating out 12 hours, and I think if you were using it for more, it might be more like 10. But hey, it's good. By the way, I did see the System 76 after I purchased my HP. And I thought, oh, I should have got a 76. But if you configured it the way Costco had it configured, I have 32 gigs of RAM, and the System 76 doesn't let you get 32. It's 40, so that's close enough. And if I configured the System 76 with the 1 terabyte that came with this HP, and configured everything else as close as possible, it came out to, I think, about $1,700 on the System 76 site, and which is about the list price without taxes and stuff. When you add the taxes in, it's more like $1,900 here in California. But it was about the same price, and if I were paying full price for it, I would have gone with the System 76 for sure. But the HP, because it was Costco and because it was the end of their carrying that particular model, they had reduced it down. So I saved $200 or $300 and Actually, I think I may have saved a little bit more than that off that list price. So the HP was a better deal financially. And of course, because it's HP, because there's some proprietary stuff in there, and because it's using the latest hardware, 13th gen Intel super duper, you know, whiz bang processor and everything else that goes along with it. Not everything works yet. It will once the kernel catches up with the newest hardware. So I'm not too worried about that. And nothing that I'm worried about is a problem. But I think if I had a preference and the price was equivalent, I would have gone with System 76 with this particular model, because it is just as nice, and because everything works nicer than the HP. I'll try Pop! OS on the HP and see what happens.
That would be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a look at some of the software that they provide on the System 76 site, like the drivers that are downloadable and stuff, but I can't see anything that I don't already have. But installing System 76's Pop! OS might just do the trick, so I'll give it a try.
Yeah, so one, congratulations on the new tech. That's a sweet machine.
But it sure is.
There's just one little problem. We've got to get you putting Manjaro on it, and then you need to send it to me.
Ah, yes, okay.
Okay, you don't need that. I do. Just send it to me. I'll take good care of it. No, seriously. Congratulations. That is a beautiful piece of kit.
Yes.
I am so jealous. So yeah, it sounds like it's a, I looked at a picture of it and I'm like, that Lemur Pro's not, that's not bad.
So, not bad. And if you go into their site and you do the configuration, you can see exactly what they have, and it's got more ports than mine does for sure. And so if you're interested in hardware ports and supportability that way, it's got it all right there. So it's got some advantages over this HP that I've got for sure.
Yeah, so congratulations. I am very, very, very happy for you. And just put Manjaro 24 Wednesday on it, and you'll be good. Okay.
Okay. I'll send you Reed's email address so that you can send him your physical address so he can mail it to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
He'll send something all right, but it's not going to be that System 76, that's for sure.
Yeah, you bet. It might be a link to the System 76 is what he sends you. There you go.
That would be funny, send a snail mail with a link to
for you to type into.
That'd be quite funny. All right. So our next one comes from Nancy, who has a shameless plug for her book. And she writes, "Hi guys, longtime listener here, and I wanted to let you know about my book going live on Amazon on July 1. The title is Your Data, Your Devices, and You: Easy to Follow Instructions to Reduce Your Risk of Data Loss, Device Infection, and Identity Theft. It's not particularly written for your audience, but it's written for the friends and families of your audience and the ones that they're always having to help clean up after."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She writes, "I have a bachelor's degree in cybersecurity and MCSE A+ Network Plus Security Plus and CISSP. Isn't it MCSE, Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer?
I believe that's what it is.
Ah, okay. So, anyway.
But, quite the long list of alphabetic
of acronyms.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Not to take anything from that. It's all very impressive credentials.
Yeah, very impressive. I was just like, wow. And I don't have that many after my name, will, or ever. So, anyway. And I've been doing this work for about 15 years. I've tried to price the book so that it's accessible for just about everyone and not so cheap that people doubt the quality of the content." Okay, that makes sense. The Kindle version will be $9.99 USD, and the paperback will be $22.99. I cover the most common things that can happen to us, hardware failure and how to recognize it, different kinds of malware, phishing, etc. Protecting the tools we use, backups, updates, and awareness, and how to recover from bad things, restoring from a backup, a list of who to contact if you think your identity has been stolen, with a bonus section of additional terms, definitions, and several methods to make a strong password you can remember without writing it down. I've written it for people who don't know tons about tech, with extensive descriptions and instructions. I'm not kidding about easy to follow. I had a few people read it who don't know much about tech, and they were able to understand and follow the instructions in the book. Here's the Amazon link for the Kindle version, and the link is in our show notes. I'm still learning about the marketing stuff, and when I figure it out how to offer a coupon or discount code, I'll get one ready for your audience. This was something I'd been trying to do for a while, and I think that the instructions are evergreen. Thanks for your podcast. I get something valuable from every episode, Nancy. Wow. Congratulations, Nancy, for your new book.
Yeah, I'm interested in reading it. So I think I'm going to support Nancy and purchase a copy of the Kindle book and see what it's like.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, to help with your marketing, if you want to just send us a free copy to promote the book, we can do that. But hey, no, we're promoting it here anyway. We're not actually asking for a free. Hey, Bill would like a free copy.
I will take a free copy of your book because I need to be aware of, and easy to follow is like my middle name. No, seriously, Nancy. I've watched Larry write his book, and all I can say is you're writing a book is no joke and takes some serious chops. So congratulations on your book.
Yes, indeed.
And yes, definitely let us know if you get that discount code so we can promote it even more. And I'll just take 95% of it, and you can have 5. What do you say? Oh, okay. You can keep 100%. Geez, you do have a hard bargain, Nancy. But seriously, congratulations.
Yes. And thanks for promoting it here.
Yeah.
I think, although you said you haven't written it for our audience, I think, as you observed, our audience will find a lot of value in it for helping their friends and family to reduce their risk of getting infected, yeah, or everything else.
Identity theft, yeah.
All the things you mentioned. So interested to read it once it's available. And
yeah,
we're recording this before July 1st, so it's not available yet for us. But by the time this episode gets out, it'll be a lot closer to July 1st. So there you go. Hopefully you'll get some sales as a result of us mentioning here on the podcast.
Yeah, I also want to point out something. I just read a security story about how some of these groups are using AI to really tailor their emails, trying to target people with, you know, voices, and like their boss will come up and with a voice, they'll say, "I need you to go write me a $10,000 check and buy gift cards with it." So sounds like this might be a great little primer for everybody to read from Nancy, just to, you know, if it doesn't sound like something your boss would ask you to do, you might want to just pick up the phone and call them and say, "Did you want me to get you $10,000 of Amazon gift cards? Are you sure about that?" So, yeah, it never hurts to keep learning. So, yeah, I'm anxious to look at what Nancy's written.
You bet. Okay, well, moving on. David wrote, "Since you didn't ask, my late mother, remembering her as a blessing, used to say that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. And since you didn't ask for feedback about your new theme music, I won't make any comment. Enough said. Bestest, David." And he sent that before we requested feedback. So then he
followed up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He then followed up and after we asked for our feedback on the previous episode. He says, "Okay, I listened to 456 on the subject of the theme music. Guess I lost that argument. Oh well, after almost 44 years of marriage, I'm used to losing arguments. But at least fix the volume of your voiceovers in both the intro and the end. You are very hard to hear, especially Bill, during the intro. And thanks, Bill, for the promotion. I am now the official Going Linux expat Canadian minion." Sorry, it's such a long title. I don't think it'll fit on a business card, actually, but anyway. Tiny print, something I can now cross off my bucket list. It's a true honor. Notice to you an honor, as it puts me in the good company of Larry, who is the official Going Linux expat Canadian host. Bestest David ECM expat Canadian minion.
Yep. I'm guessing that makes me the OGLECH, the official Going Linux expat Canadian host. So I've got some letters to put after my name, too.
Okay, so first off, David, anytime you have anything to say or opinion, we have an open door policy. Please let us know. We're going to ask for our feedback. If you don't like something, or you want to see something change, or you want to hear something, send us feedback. We don't take it the wrong way. We might not agree with you. We might not do it, but we'll still read it and say, we'll think about it. But yeah. But always, anybody that listens, we'd love feedback. Send it to us. And I was noticing that, too, that I was a little drowned out by the intro. But I think Larry's still kind of tweaking that a little bit.
Absolutely, that's exactly right.
I think he's actually trying to hide my annoying voice, is what I think, but don't tell him I figured it out. He's adjusting it. It's grown on me. I like it more and more, and as he's made a few adjustments I've already heard, and it's getting better, so yeah, I like it. And you're always in good company. You're one of our he's been with us for a while. He's been a long time minion.
I think he's one of the folks who's listened from episode one.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know whether he joined us when we first started, but he's gone back and listened.
I think I remember I know that he was around during Tom's time.
Yeah, exactly. So, thanks, okay. David. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, and let us know what you really feel. Anyhow, our next email is from Biku, and he's provided a couple here for this episode. And the first one is feedback on episode 451. Hi there, Larry and Bill. I'm a bit behind on Going Linux Q, and I've just finished listening to the episode 451, and here are my suggestions to a few questions raised during this episode. Robert mentioned about his dislike for the default Lubuntu package manager, and he wondered about some possible alternatives. Lubuntu is based on LXQT, and LXQT is based on Qt platform. So any application based on Qt will feel more at home and better integrated on Lubuntu, and that's why I think Discover will be a better option as a package manager on Lubuntu. So we'll provide a link to the Discover package manager, which looks like it's from KDE.
It is.
He continues, by the way, if you guys or anyone else is interested in a simple tool that can update all of your Deb, Flatpak, and Snap packages in one go, let me know. I'll cook one up for you guys. That's interesting. Jack mused about BitLocker, and in my personal opinion, he needs to move away from that proprietary tool if convenient and possible. And if he's running a KDE-based distribution, then a great tool to create and manage encrypted volumes is already there. It's called Plasma Vault, and we'll have a link to that in our show notes. James was having issues with Thunderbird, Supernova, and add-ons compatibility. He can easily go to the official add-on site and search for his required add-on, and on that page there will be a Works with Thunderbird version XX information. For example, provider for Google Calendar works with Thunderbird versions 102.0 through 126. We'll have a link to that site as well. And if he has a hard time still, he can try SeaMonkey instead of Thunderbird. SeaMonkey has plenty of add-ons. We'll have links to both SeaMonkey and the add-ons in our show notes. And finally, I haven't had the time yet to look at Tolga Arok's custom Fedora and NixOS scripts, but I'm sure they will be useful. Thanks to him for sharing his work. If someone is looking for improved Fedora experience out of the box, just like what Ubuntu does with its Debian base, Nobara and Ultramarine are nice distributions. Links in the show notes. I hope this feedback will be of use to a human or two and a minion or two. Adios. Hey, thanks. I know you had mentioned as we were preparing for this episode something about Plasma Vault. You want to kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So I agree that Plasma Vault is spectacular. I use it all the time. I use it to store sensitive documents, you know, I'm writing, or just stuff that I need to keep private, whether it be work-related or personal-related, you know, tax forms, etc., etc. So I use the vaults, and you can install it. Most distros will come with, you know, KDE distros will come with that already pre-installed, but Manjaro 24 didn't. So all I did is just type Plasma and then Vault, and it comes up. And I used actually one of the apps he also just described, which I also agree, Discover, which is fantastic. And as he said, since it's Qt, it will work just fine on Ubuntu and look native. So yes, use Discover. Plasma Vaults is absolutely wonderful. I saw SeaMonkey. I haven't never tried SeaMonkey, but I want to. I think the name is absolutely cute, and I just, you
yep,
know.
Yep.
But Thunderbird.
Very much like the old Netscape Navigator.
Yeah, okay. And SeaMonkey is such cool. And I agree with him. I looked at Ultramarine. I haven't installed it ever. And I might throw it in a virtual machine. But I have. I support the Nobara project because he does the Proton GE, but he also does incredible work with his distribution. That he's got, and if you're a gamer or a content creator, and you like Fedora, give Nobara a look. It is probably one of the nicest Fedora ones that I've ever seen. So Biku, you're right. All those are really good, recommendations. We gotta make him a minion.
If we haven't already, I've kind of lost track of who we've made minions.
If you're not a minion, Biku, I'm going to come up with your title. I'm going to give you an official title by next user feedback. So be ready for your Biku minion title. But yeah, seriously, thank you for those recommendations. Those are fantastic. Biku. Provided some more feedback on episode 451. Biku, we just talked to you, but okay, here we go. Hi there, Bill and Larry. I forgot to mention if Jack or other users who are not using KDE will find it difficult to use Plasma Vault on a on GTK-based distributions. For those users, there is a nice alternative called Siri Kali. This is regarding Jack's question on BitLocker. And the folks who are into Microsoft Email Service for Businesses, aka MS Exchange, Evolution by GNOME is a wonderful email client. This is regarding James and email client issues, and he also includes a link in the show notes, 73. Thanks, Biku.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. And as always, Biku is providing lots of links, lots of suggestions, and we thank him and everyone else in this episode who has provided.
But Biku really sent some really good, strong ones today. I'm impressed.
Yeah, really good.
And Nancy writing a book. Can you believe it? Nancy wrote a book. I'm impressed.
That is cool. And as always, Sean, the rambling minion.
Oh, yeah. He's in us like 20 minutes worth of voice.
Yeah, I think so.
It was good. It was good stuff, too. We have some really good listeners. I tell you what.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And David for being so, loyal as a listener.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else is, too. I mean, because probably the one who's been around the least amount of time of all three of the others. Reed as well. He's fairly new. But, you know, Nancy has been around for a long time. Haven't heard from her. So good to hear from you again, Nancy.
Yeah, hear her every once in a while. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we gave her a hard time in one episode, if I remember correctly.
But
maybe
hey,
that's why she's been silent.
Anyway. Yeah, well, hey, she just said, okay, you want to be that way? I'll just go write a really good book, How You Like Me Now. Way to go, Nancy. I am still godsmacked by how awesome our listeners are. But anyway, enough of that.
Yep. So, okay, well, that's it for this episode. And our next episode will be a networking episode. And until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We do provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.